Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeJet1. Today we're going to talk about the other offensive lineman the Jets got, courtesy of the Baltimore Ravens, John Simpson. And to do that, Ken McCusick, film study analyst for 105.7 The Fan. Ken, thanks so much for coming back on the show, sir.
Glad to do it, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, quick refresher on John Simpson. He went to college at Clemson, ended up winning a national championship there. What a lot of people remember with him was that funny stunt that he pulled during the media day where he put on the blonde wig and impersonated Trevor Lawrence and made fun of him and his mannerisms and everything. That got him quite a bit of attention. Dabo Swinney certainly got a kick out of that. And then John Simpson ends up getting picked in the mid-rounds by the Raiders. Things don't go all that great there. He winds up getting released. The Ravens pick him up on their practice squad. Eventually, they wind up activating him, and he gets into a competition to play at left guard. Ken, I want to begin with what you expected when the Ravens got John Simpson, because a lot of people who know offensive line and know college football knew who Simpson was, if not from the Raiders, certainly from Clemson. Like I said, he was that colorful personality. A lot of people remember the viral moment with the Trevor Lawrence impersonation, but he was a big nasty guard in college on a national championship team. So what was your impression initially when he first came in?
Sure. Well, he's got a great size and length to play offensive line. In fact, he's really got an offensive tackle's body more than offensive guard's body. He's a tall vertical athlete, more than that at 6'4", 321, 34 change on the arm length, which is, that'd be perfectly good to play on the outside of tackle. Doesn't completely match up in some other characteristics in terms of getting there. I thought he might see emergency time, even at left tackle for the Ravens, had something happened to McCary while Stanley was down. So, it certainly could have happened, but it did not. He's got a lot of other deficiencies that kind of showed up during the year. The biggest one we knew about already, though, was all the penalties. Has a tremendous record of penalties. Why don't we save that for later? Because it's its own special island in terms of what's going on. But in terms of what he does as a lineman, doesn't have the greatest mobility, not a great puller. Now, we talked about Morgan Moses less yesterday. You would look at the two guys and expect, I think, Simpson to be the better puller, but Moses is by far the more mobile, more decisive athlete. And Simpson has had a lot of problems. Huge pulling responsibilities. Left guard for the Baltimore Ravens pulls more than any other single position in football. So, you know, it's what they've got from the Roman years, and they still maintain some of that during the Monken era. Very much a counter-based system, and a lot of pulls from left guard that are singles as well. So, you know, he had a big responsibility there. Probably got a little bit better as the season went on in that area, but it's not an area which I would call a strength. He's kind of unremarkable in space. Again, I think an area where he might have actually improved when a lot of other things were going wrong as the season went on. Like most linemen, I call him lungy in level two. The Ravens have never really been a good screen pass team, and part of that is that their guys don't really line up blocks in space too well. All offensive linemen have a tendency to get a little lungy and not keep their feet, whereas wide receivers often can be much better blockers in space because they can keep their feet and maintain good positional blocks against corners and safeties. But linemen have trouble, and often the quicker athletes beat them, they lunge and they miss and whatnot. Simpson certainly has some of that. He has a big balance issue at the line of scrimmage, which showed up primarily in the first half of the season, but it was still present in the second. He leans forward into his block so much, and this has been so well documented on tape, that opposing defensive tackles will use a push-pull move on him effectively to put pressure against him, which he then leans forward to counter that pressure, and then they reverse their pressure and pull him down. Loses his feet a lot playing left guard in this league. So it's a big no-no to lose your feet, period, but that's something that he's particularly susceptible to. He's okay as a pass blocker. His anchor is fine, but one thing that happens is he is not really great at because he maintains a hold on a player when he gets outside his frame. It's a big problem on run plays with Simpson. That's where a lot of holding calls happen, of course, is on run plays, but they also happen on pass plays with Simpson. So he's a guy that has consistently plagued him. I think the Ravens got him because they thought they could correct that about him. And I think, you know, ask anyone who is around the NFL, and let's say the Ravens have about the best offensive line coach in the league, maybe the best, maybe the third best, but they're in the top five by anybody's standard, I think. And I think the thought was that, hey, we got a guy who has this enormous but potentially correctable flaw. Let's bring him in. I mean, he looks like an offensive lineman. Let's see if we can fix him. And they really tried. And I think at the end of a year, I think they could say it really didn't work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Ken, can you talk a little bit about how Simpson won the left guard competition?
Yeah. That's a funny story, I'll tell you. Okay, so John Harbaugh is a very astute motivator of players. And he has a kennel system. He has a doghouse system he uses. I call it a kennel because there can be quite a few players in there at the same time. But Ben Cleveland, for example, is in the doghouse. I think he's going to be a starter next year just because he's played so well. But he's in the doghouse because he showed up overweight from getting married and failed the Ravens conditioning test for quite a while. I want to say it's like 4 or 5 days before he finally passed and was able to start practicing. And then they did something to him that I think probably might reduce his stock around the league by listing him at 370 pounds. And he'd gotten down to 343, I know, for the combine, but they obviously reweighed him when he came back from getting married, and they wanted to, you know, really stick it to him, I guess, in terms of publishing his real weight in there. The guy in 2023, that was in 22. In 2023, he looked like an Adonis, frankly, in terms of how he's built top to bottom. It's, you know, he's very, very, very large in the chest, and it's not a lot of flab he's carrying around. The reason I bring up the Cleveland description and go into such detail is that I think they really were looking to motivate John Simpson in a way. And they said, well, we got this sixth round draft pick. And if you watch this guy on the field to start with, a lot of reporters were being BS'd into believing that Saleh, whose name is extremely long, but we call him Saleh here, would be the starting left guard. And he started from the beginning of OTAs being the guy that they had in there, beginning of training camp. He's practicing with the ones. Simpson is practicing with the twos. I think what happened was John Harbaugh said, we got a guy that's coming with from Las Vegas. Tremendous penalty issues throughout his career. He carries with him baggage. And I can only imagine a player like that says, oh, that situation in Las Vegas, it just completely sucked. You know, the players around were crap and the system was crap. And he may or may not have actually said that, but he may have actually believed it or internalized it in such a way that he just can't build his confidence up to start letting go when he needs to let go to avoid holding penalties. And I think Harbaugh really wanted to put him through that ringer and make him felt like he make him feel like he earned the job somehow when there was never any hope for Saleh to play left guard. I mean, it's just not NFL ready at this point. He did make the roster, and he even was activated for one game where the Ravens had 9 offensive linemen because they just didn't have anybody else healthy. But there was never a question that Saleh was actually going to play this season. So I think that Harbaugh really tried to get inside John Simpson's head to play this game with him. And then just all of a sudden, about the second week of training camp, they announced, oh, and John Simpson's going to get a chance. You know, Saleh's got a chance now. Now John Simpson's get a chance to see if he can fight with the ones kind of thing, which I think probably was the plan all along.
Ken, I want to talk about the penalties with John Simpson. I'm going to reference a show that people in Baltimore should know. If they don't, then they should watch it. Homicide: Life on the Street. Of course, based on the book Homicide: A Year on the Killing Streets by David Simon, who would go on to create The Wire. And he was a Baltimore Sun crime reporter for a long time. And so that show took place in Baltimore. And there's a famous scene with an actor named Clark Johnson who played Detective Meldrick Lewis on the show. And he's beating on a drug dealer. And he says to him, the drug dealer's name is Luther. He says, Luther, if it was just the drugs, if you're just dealing the drugs, we wouldn't be here right now. But the bodies, Luther, what about the bodies? What is up with them? And he just keeps kicking him in the ribs and kicking him in the ribs, talking, of course, about the murders that Luther Mahoney, the drug dealer, had ordered, and essentially saying, I'm a homicide cop. I wouldn't even have had any interaction with you if you would have just stuck with what you were doing and dealt the drugs. But now you crossed into my territory, and I'm going to have to put a whooping on you. And essentially, that's what I keep thinking of when I look at John Simpson, because like you said, he's a decent offensive lineman, certainly a serviceable starter. But the penalties, Ken, what about the penalties? Tell me what is up with them.
I'd say it's a problem that's dogged him his entire career. And it's not only the frequency, it's the severity. So let's talk about both of them. First of all, in terms of the frequency with the Raiders, he had 17 penalties in 1,622 snaps with the Raiders. And that's as PFF counts them. It includes probably some kneel downs and spikes in there that shouldn't be included, but includes the penalties themselves. But that's one every 95.4 snaps. With the Ravens, he had 13 in 1,242 or thereabouts snaps, which is one every 95.5 snaps. So incredibly consistent. And at that rate of improvement, he'll be good by about the year 3000 in terms of where his rate per snap is going. To put that in context, the typical guard has about one penalty every 250 snaps. And so that just gets to the frequency. Now you got to talk severity. Most offensive guard penalties, or a lot of offensive guard penalties, are pre-snap penalties, specifically false starts, where they move before the ball goes. False start penalties, nobody likes them, but in terms of their relative value, they're the least serious penalty you can have as an offensive lineman because they're a pre-snap foul. Pre-snap fouls are 5 yards and no loss of down only. And it's the key word there is only, because all post-snap fouls include an option for the defense. This is extremely valuable. So, for example, being illegally downfield on a pass is also a 5-yard penalty, but it's way more costly than a false start because the defense has the option to take whichever result is better, either the loss of down with the play or the 5-yard loss. So they might take either. And then there's the severity also in terms of what fouls he was getting that were post-snap fouls. And so to go through this with the Raiders, he had 2 false starts, 13 offensive holding, and 2 personal fouls in his 3 years there. With the Ravens, he had 9 offensive holding or illegal hands to the face. They're both the same penalty, so I grouped them together. 1 personal foul and 3 false starts. And that includes one of them that was charged, I think, correctly by PFF to them, but wasn't officially charged. So if you see 12 penalties there, that's where the difference is. So anyway, just from any standpoint, that is the kryptonite for Simpson. He's not a great lineman in other ways. He's okay. He's serviceable, I think, would be a fair way to say it. But this really makes him, you know, drop from a C lineman to about a D-plus lineman, these penalties. So that's where the issue is for me.
How did John Simpson grade out for you in each of these games this past year with the Ravens?
Yes, his first 10 games of the season, he was playing at a very good level, a .79 per play. That's just a couple points behind Zeitler at guard, so really pretty good. Would have been like a C-plus level. The rest of the way, he was considerably worse, really dropped to about a D-plus level at .71. He had 8 grades of D or D-plus in his final 9 games of the year. Again, incredible consistency at a bad level. He never actually had a failing grade for a single game the entire year. Never had a score drop below 67 for a guard is the minimum to pass. So that's very good, and it's very unusual also because there's a lot of game-to-game variation in offensive linemen. We accept it perfectly normally when baseball players hit 2 home runs one day and strike out 3 times the next day and go 0-for-4. We accept that kind of thing. But with offensive linemen, there's a lot of variation in game-to-game play. You don't play at the same high level every time. It's, you know, opponent-based, and you have other components that will typically vary your results significantly. When I look at his pass blocking, his per-snap weighted pressure events per play. And what I mean by that is weighted for the severity of his, whether it was a hurry, a quarterback hit, or a sack, were actually better than Kevin Zeitler for the season. So a lot of people would be surprised by that. But Zeitler had not a terrible pass blocking year, but it wasn't his best. And Simpson, his primary problem was really penalties. PFF, if you look at their scoring, they had him in the high 50s, mid to high 50s in both categories. He ranks 39th of 54 among guards as a run blocker and 36th out of 54 as a pass blocker. I don't think that's unfair, which means he's a below average left guard. I think that's who he is. And I think if you want to say if the Simpson deal works out for the Jets, it will because they do what the Ravens failed to do and correct this very significant penalty problem. And honestly, just knowing how both franchises are constructed and the coaching staffs involved, I don't see how that's likely to occur. If the Ravens failed, I think other teams will fail as well.
The Ravens let him go in large part because of those penalties, but there were other reasons too, right?
Yeah, there were other reasons. They have 2 young guards on the team right now, Voorhees and Cleveland. Voorhees was a very highly touted guard prospect who tore his ACL at the combine, still then lifted even with a torn ACL and did the bench and had 38 reps to lead all players at the combine, which is just remarkable in so many ways. But he'll be back. I think he could be the starting left or right guard, probably the left guard if I had to guess. But his strength is something you that's an ability to torque an opposing defensive tackle and open the front gate on running plays. Usually most offenses are right-handed, of course, meaning they run right more often. Their tight end is lined up on that side. And they typically will want to open the front gate by having the right guard have a responsibility for turning that offensive lineman and creating a hole there. Well, anyway, that's a thing I think Voorhees or Simpson, either one of them can do. Voorhees or Cleveland, either one of them can do. And I think those will probably be the 2 Ravens starting guards. They have some other guys. Salah is still around. And as far as I'm concerned, he's still a developmental player until we see something from him in terms of live fire that works. And they let Kevin Zeitler go. which I'm not surprised by. I didn't think they could afford him. But if I were the Jets, I probably would have signed Zeitler and not Simpson. I 2 years at would have been slightly more maybe for Zeitler, maybe $22 million, let's say $23 million. Zeitler remains unsigned at this point, and I am absolutely shocked by it, given that he just made a Pro Bowl. He had one of the better years of his career this last year. Just been a remarkably the North Star of the Ravens offensive line in terms of always being an extremely consistent player. And I'm very surprised by that. But anyway, the Ravens needed to find out where they could get cheaper in a year the way they lost a ton of free agents, and guard is a position where they're trying to be cheap. And it's a little frustrating that they go out and they sign Derrick Henry to a big running back contract when that's typically a position the Ravens have had tremendous success playing cheap at. But it is what it is, and it'll be interesting to see how he plays this next year.
Ken, I assume that the reason that the Jets signed Simpson over Zeitler is, as you mentioned, a matter of money. Simpson, the revised numbers have it at 2 years, $12 million, could be worth up to $18 million with incentives, but it's $12 million plus it's $6 million guaranteed. So not a lot of money for a starting offensive guard. What do you think the best use of him would be? We talked about his strengths and weaknesses a little bit. Obviously, we know that his biggest weakness by far are those penalties. And if the Ravens couldn't get him to stop, tough to believe that Nathaniel Hackett and Keith Carter will be able to have any kind of positive effect there. But what do you think the best use of him for the Jets would be? And talk a little bit about how you think he would hold up blocking for Aaron Rodgers and then trying to open up holes for Breece Hall.
Yeah, he is not really a great move the guy opposite him lineman. That's really not his game, despite the fact that he's big. He's just not built like a guard. He's not a low hippie player. Oftentimes apples and pears are described as two human body types, and apples carry their weight around their midsection like me, and pears carry it in their hips. And many women and many great guards carry their weight in their hips. It's just the way humans are built very frequently. And guards who are built that way tend to have big leverage advantages. They keep their feet better. It tends to be a better, more normal build, I'll say, for a guard. And tackles tend to be the more upright linemen who are more able to play and more need the good feet that often come with having an apple-shaped body. So anyway, if you look at the two of those things, then I'd say I don't think he's a huge asset in the power run game to move straight ahead. I mentioned some of the problems he had pulling earlier. He could get better at that, maybe, but I think I would kind of say he is who he is after 4 years in the NFL. There's another team who figures it out. It'll be the big area for improvement. It'll be the penalties that they can find value. In terms of blocking for Rodgers, I talked about this a little bit with Moses. If you can block for Lamar Jackson, where you have extended responsibilities and you always have to keep your head on a swivel and you always have to know where he is, then I think you can block for Aaron Rodgers when you know exactly where he's going to be most of the time. So I think it's an easier task to block for Aaron Rodgers in the sense that you know where he's going to be and you can maintain pocket integrity relative to that spot. In terms of making sure he stays upright, Simpson will have probably some of the problems that he might otherwise have of potentially allowing people to get by him, but it's not his biggest weakness as a player. I come back to the it's going to be all about the penalties and what the Jets can get out of him there.
Ken, anything worth mentioning about John Simpson that you think we should know that we haven't touched on yet?
With regard to the things I said earlier about motivating him to do things, and you talked about the Trevor Lawrence thing, word is that John Simpson is a very likable teammate, kind of a quiet, reserved guy. Which is why this Trevor Lawrence thing is somewhat different from that, but a nice guy and a likable guy. He does not seem from that to be the kind of guy who kind of retreat into his own head necessarily or lash out with excuses. But the Ravens are upset with him for not improving clearly in that area. Referring to the penalties again, he's just going to have to figure that out, or he's not going to be around the NFL for a whole lot longer, I don't think.
Ken McCusick, 105.7 The Fan's Ravens film study analyst. Thanks so much for coming back on the show and talking about John Simpson, the Jets' new left guard. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out your work, obviously 105.7 The Fan, but where else can they find you?
Well, filmstudybaltimore.com is the website. I'd encourage you to go there, particularly if you want to listen to old podcasts that talk about Simpson on a game-by-game basis. It's in the Offense Part 2 pod each week, and they're all out there still. The whole entire archive of pods is, if you want to listen to some of that. And I'll go through probably about 2 minutes on each offensive lineman every week in that, maybe even four. In some cases, so you have something to listen to if you want. There's offensive line articles that have the same thing, and lots of articles on the defense as well. If you have a desire on that, you want to read back on some old Chuck Clark stuff if you want that, or other players. Joe Douglas has obviously picked up a lot of Ravens from the past.
Indeed, he has, and I'm sure he will continue to do so in the future. So make sure you check out Ken's work, because you never know who the next Raven could be that winds up a member of the New York Jets. Make sure you check out everything we're doing at playlikejet.com, and be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.